And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to Ephesians chapter number 5. Last week we were in Colossians. And this week we're going to the parallel passage in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses, starting down at verse number 18. Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." All right. This is one of Paul's complex sentences. Paul is famous for complex sentences. And he's just famous for his complex sentences. There are a few sentences in some of these that just keep going and going and going. And it depends on who his audience is. Here, the audience is the church at Ephesus, and they were a more sophisticated church. More sophisticated people lived in Ephesus than lived in Colossae. More sophisticated people lived in Ephesus than lived throughout most of the regions of Galatia. Ephesus was a cultural center. Ephesus was a center of thought and a center of philosophy, not to the degree that Athens was, or Corinth for that matter. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians contain some of the most complex sentences in the whole Bible in terms of how long they are and the way the ideas are woven together. If we go back to basic English grammar, and this is true for most languages, a sentence encompasses one complete thought. Now that thought may have multiple pieces that are interreacted or interactive with each other, interdependent with each other, and you can have multiple ideas, some of equal value, some subordinate to others, and you have all these features in this sentence. That last clause, for instance, submitting yourselves one to another, that is a subordinate clause, and it's subordinate to the main idea, which is don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's two thoughts. Don't be drunk with wine, filled with the Spirit. Those are two thoughts, but they comprise together, independent of each other, they comprise together a single larger thought. And that is, don't do this, do this. You know, that's one of those ways of comparison that the world uses a lot. Don't do this, do this. Don't do X, do Y. That's a very common construct in the English language. And that's what we have here. Those are the basic thoughts of this passage that we just read. The basic thought is don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now this is important. Now the next, that you can tell if clauses are dependent or independent by the punctuation. In this case, we have semicolons. Semicolons divide independent clauses. Clauses that are standalone. Now they're part of the whole thought, but they're a whole thought in and of themselves. Whereas a subordinate clause or a dependent clause will typically have a different construction, a different punctuation, either a colon or a comma or something along those lines. And we have a chain of independent thoughts here, but they all work together. Now, I've heard worldly people make the statement, oh, how can you have fun if there's no alcohol involved? How can you possibly have fun? Well, my friend, they have not been in a real spirit service, is all I can say. Let me tell you something. Now, I've never been drunk. So I don't know what that feels like. So I don't really have a direct comparison. But I know this. I have been filled with the Spirit before. I know this. I have seen other people who are filled with the Spirit. And I have had some Holy Ghost recreation in my days. And it's wonderful. I don't think I've ever actually took a running spell. I've seen those. I don't think I've, there's a bunch of things I've not done. But there are a few things I have done. And there's a few things that stand out in my life, in my memory, that I have done that qualifies being filled with the Spirit. And let me tell you something. People love to escape what is going on in their lives in the material world at the moment. That's why people do drugs. That's why people drink. That's why people do the things that they do. There's adrenaline junkies that do things and they'll base jump off of a tower, or they'll get a wingsuit and they'll go to that Tianwen Mountain in China and they'll fly a wingsuit off of the top of that thing and land it, and the adrenaline rush must be incredible. That's not my cup of tea. That's not my cup of tea. I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm not going, and I will climb towers, but I'm not going to just willingly jump off of one, even if I have a parachute. You know, parachutes take a certain amount of time to open, and you probably ain't got enough time for one to open on most towers that I've been on. And so you just got to be careful. They call it base jumping. But the mind craves escape from the mundane things of the world. We call them pastimes. Some people have sports, the excitement of a sporting event. Some people have drugs. Some people have drink. Some people do all kinds of different things for recreation and for passing the time and for escaping the mundane rut of life. I have the Lord, and the Lord has me, and the Lord gives me from time to time an escape from the mundane life, from the material world, from the worry of the various things that we have that can worry us, finances and all kinds of things can worry us and can if an appliance acts like it's going on the fritz or whatever it might be, family issues, mourning of a death in the family, there's all kinds of things that that we can have in this material life that we might want to escape from. Some people read books. Fantasy books are very popular because of that, because you can read it. And not everybody does this, but a lot of people, they'll read and they'll get so engrossed in what they're reading that everything else, they're escaping from it. I've been there. I've done that. I've done that in the Bible. There's some passages in the Bible that are like that, where you read along and you just can't put it down because, the things that happened, there's some mighty interesting things happening recorded in the Word of God and on its pages. And it's different people have different escape valves, I guess you could say. Now, the Bible also tells us that the Lord will not send any temptation, but that He sends a way to escape. It's not a way of escape, it's a way to escape. To escape implies more action than of escape. And it's a way to escape. But it's a different kind of escape. What I'm talking about is getting away from the mundane and the oppressive nature of living in this world today. getting away from the politics, getting away from the news cycle, getting away from Facebook and doom scrolling on TikTok and other things. Get away from it. Of course, a lot of people use TikTok as an escape. People will scroll on YouTube to escape. They're watching all kinds of weird videos. And there's a bunch of weird videos out there. That's what TikTok's all about. They'll go on Instagram and read people's posts and watch things. And they'll get on Facebook and see just how worse off other people are than they are. Or they might see other people on a vacation or something. There's all kinds of reasons why people do what they do and why people want to escape. Drink, alcohol has always been one of them. Getting drunk. I'm told you lose all of that. You are able to escape from the bad feelings that come along with being a human being and living in this life. Everything's not fun and games. And everything's not supposed to be fun and games. The Lord never said that we'd be happy every single day. He never said there wouldn't be any problems. But He does tell us that He will give us a way to escape. And that way is being filled with the Spirit. Now, I've said all that to say this. David, if anybody, David had a right to want to escape the awful things that he put himself through because of his sin with Bathsheba. Now, he committed sin with Bathsheba, but that, as we've studied over the past couple of years, that was not the beginning of his sin. The beginning of his sin was when he took his second wife and his third wife and his fourth wife and his fifth wife. And a pattern emerged. David was not satisfied with just one woman. And that became the problem. He had a wife, Michal. She was given to another man by her father. The marriage was annulled, and she was given to another man. There's an argument can be made that whoever he married after that was technically his first wife. Even though he had been married to Michal, she didn't bear him any children. She never bore him any children. And so, technically, probably Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, she probably was David's first wife who actually bore him a child. And that's what they counted back in that day. But Michal was David's wife. And whether Saul had the right or not, he gave her to another man. Two wrongs don't make a right. Taking her away from that man did not right the wrongs, because she was this man's wife. Mm-hmm. And it's a tangled web. It's a big mess. David should have been content to not have a wife that was a daughter of Saul. But no, that was dangled in front of him like a carrot to try to get him killed is what it was. That's what Saul had in mind. He was going to get David killed by dangling his daughters out there and saying, okay, you get me this, 100 foreskins of the Philistines, and you can have my daughter. And David did. And Saul was not exactly happy because he didn't figure David would survive it. But David did. David survived it. David had plenty of sin. And it led up to the sin with Bathsheba. And it led up to the sin of trying to cover it up and the sin of murdering Uriah the Hittite and then trying to cover that up. And David he suffered many consequences. And here's the thing. David could have done so much more for the Lord had he not done this. Had he not done this one thing. Well, it wasn't just one thing. It built. Sin's that way. Sin starts small, but it gets bigger. Sin is like cancer. And if you catch it early, then it won't metastasize, or however you pronounce that. I've always had difficulty pronouncing that word. It won't spread to other parts of the body, is what I'm saying. Cancer's that way. If you catch it early, then it's a small thing and can be fairly easily dealt with. But cancer that's let grow and spread becomes a real problem. And it will kill you. And it can kill you very, very quickly. You might not even know you have it. Go to the doctor. Find out you've got cancer. And it may not be long till you're gone. But if it's caught quickly, then it can usually be treated effectively. Now, sin's that way. If it's caught, if it's dealt with when it's small, but when it builds, and when it builds, then chastisement occurs. And in the case of David, he had suffered severe chastisement. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. David kept singing. David kept on singing. Immediately after all of David's chastisement is talked about, we find this Psalm of David in 2 Samuel 22. Now, it echoes Psalm 18. They're very, 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 very similar passages. And we're going to do that comparison in another broadcast between those two passages. But David still sings. He escapes the depression of post-chastisement by singing to the Lord and praising His name. And folk, there's nothing more powerful for the Christian than to sing. Sing, God's children, sing. We need to sing. And here, now in Colossians 3, we're to sing one to another, and we're to teach and admonish one another. But here in Ephesians 5, it's sing to yourselves. There's public singing, but then there's private singing. And in both cases, you're supposed to use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, those are three different things. Psalms, sing the scripture to yourself. I know, the scripture doesn't have melody associated with it, so make up one. Make up one. One of the best examples of that is the Jimmy Justice family sung the 23rd Psalm, and they put a melody to it. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The 23rd Psalm, all of the Psalms were intended to be sung. And you know, tunes can vary. You pick a tune that you like and you sing it with your tune. I know one song in particular. There's a song titled Mercy. And the first time I heard the song Mercy was a gentleman in our church played it for homecoming a number of years back. I've got it recorded. And he played it with one particular tune. And I learned how to play that song Mercy with that tune. And then I was visiting in another church and somebody said, yeah, this is the song Mercy. I said, the words go like this. How many times have I bowed before God? And they said, yeah, that's the one. And so I gear up to play it like I'd heard it. And she started playing the piano. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This ain't the tune I know. Different tune. There's other tunes to a lot of things. I guess the most well-known in most Baptist churches is the Christmas carol, Away in a Manger. There's two tunes to that that are recorded. The older tune is sometimes sung. I believe I've heard the Chuckwagon Gang sing it with the older tune, but I think I've heard it a few times on the radio with the older tune, two different tunes. The tune matches to the lyrics. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of the best lyricists, songwriters, like Fanny Crosby, did not write the tunes that are put with her songs. Somebody else wrote the tune. If you look in your hymnal, you can see this. One of the names at the top of it is the lyricist, the person who wrote the words, and the other person listed is who wrote the tune. And so, like, you know, that's a lot of hymns in our songbooks are that way, where the tune was written by someone other than who wrote the words. That's very common, even today, even popular music in the world today. You'll have somebody typically will write the music, and then somebody else will write the words that fit that music. And it can be the other way around. And sometimes the lyricist and the person who writes the tune is the same person sometimes, but not often. And then sometimes you'll have the person who arranges it and takes the tune and takes the words and makes a different arrangement of that and makes it sound a little different. And there's some of those. You know, a lot of the times you'll find a song in the hymnal, and then you'll hear it sung by one of the gospel groups like the Inspirations or the Primitives, and the Primitives or the Inspirations have arranged it for their own type of singing, and so it's a different arrangement of the same tune and the same words. In any case, make melody. Make melody in your heart. Even if there's not a melody already there, make a melody. Make a melody in your heart. Have a happy tune with gospel words going on. Sing to yourself. Psalms, that's scripture. Hymns. Typically a hymn is a song that has verses but no chorus. And it doesn't have a particular a standard song form, like Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace is a hymn. There's no chorus to it. It wasn't necessarily written to be a song. It was written as a poem. A lot of Fanny Crosby's songs are that way. Not all of them. A spiritual song, that is a poem that is written specifically as a song. You have a chorus, and that chorus repeats an idea between the verses of the song. There's a lot of those. There's a lot of those in our songbooks. But take any of these. Sing them to yourself. Hum them to yourself. Run them. Make that it's called an earworm when you can't escape a tune. That's what it's called, is an earworm. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join me here again next week for I Want to Know More.